Well, we continue this Sunday in Matthew chapter 16. Last Sunday, you recall, we heard one of the most memorable moments in Matthew's gospel. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And then Simon Peter's great confession of faith, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded by giving Peter, of course, the extraordinary commission, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And now, this Sunday, just a few verses later, we hear something that's almost shocking. And we begin to see what that calling of Peter will actually look like in the Christian life. And it's an intense lesson Peter receives just after being given the keys. That the same Peter who was just called the rock is now told by Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an obstacle to me. You're an obstacle to me. You're thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." And yet Jesus tells him he's become a stumbling block, an obstacle. Peter reminds us that it's possible to love God and still resist God's plan. Right? It's possible to believe in God and yet at a particular moment to think not as God does, but as human beings do. There are, in a sense, two ways we can approach our lives. We can allow God to tell us what is true and what is good in our lives, and then we learn to see ourselves and the world in His light. Or we can begin with ourselves, right? We with our own desires, our expectations, our own idea of what life should be like, and then judge God according to those standards. Now Peter does the second. He can't imagine the Messiah should suffer. He can't imagine that the cross could be part of God's plan. "God forbid," Peter says to our Lord. But then Jesus reveals something, I think, that's at the very heart of our faith, right? That the cross isn't an interruption in God's plan. The cross isn't an interruption to God's plan. It is the plan. It is the plan. And that's why Jesus is so strong with Peter. Right? The word he uses for obstacle or stumbling block, as he says, you know, "Get behind me, Satan," to Peter. "You're an obstacle to me." The original Greek is skandalon. Skandalon, which is where we get the English word for scandal. Right? That Peter, the rock, has become a stumbling block, a stumbling rock, because he's trying to place himself between Jesus and the cross. And there's a strange but really important tension for us to see here, right? That Peter is the rock, and he is also the stumbling block. He is also the stumbling block, as Pope Benedict XVI reflected precisely on this paradox, noting that throughout the history of the church, the successor of Peter, the Pope, has had to be both the rock of God and a stumbling block. Has had to be both the rock of God and a stumbling block. And it's a reminder that God works through human beings who remain very much human. You know, Peter can be the rock and still needs to be corrected, right? He can be chosen by Christ and yet still gets things wrong at times. That he can receive this extraordinary mission and still have to learn how to follow our Lord. And this should give us all hope, right? If Peter had to learn to do this, then so do you and me. That the Christian life has the shape of the cross. The Christian life has the shape of the cross. It's cruciform. Cruciform. Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That Jesus is telling us that if we want to follow him, our lives can't ultimately be centered on ourselves. And this runs very much against the instincts of our culture, of the world, to protect our lives, pursue our own desires, you know, get as much out of life as we can. I'm reminded of that popular expression, YOLO. You only live once. You only live once. You know, so you better get everything you can out of it. But Jesus says something very different, right? He takes that way of thinking and turns it on its head, that whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And that sounds like a contradiction, but it's one of the great paradoxes of our faith. We find our life by giving it away. You know, think about what happens when we try to hold on to something too tightly. You know, what often happens is you end up destroying the very thing you're trying to preserve. And maybe we've seen this with, you know, even some of our relationships. It's maybe the way you've related to your children, especially as they grow into adults, or with your gifts or strengths at times. That our life isn't something we were simply given to hold on to, you know, to keep for ourselves. It's something we were given to offer. And that's why sacrifice isn't opposed to human happiness. That sacrifice isn't opposed to human happiness. Properly understood, sacrifice is the path to it. And we see this in ordinary Christian life, right? A spouse gives him or herself to the other. Parents sacrifice for their children. We give our time to someone who needs us. We forgive when we'd rather perhaps hold on to resentment. And sometimes those things can feel like losses. But in the economy of God, they're not losses. They're gifts. They're gifts. They're the way our lives become conformed to Christ, right? Truly become cruciform. And this is why the saints are such powerful witnesses for us to this truth. You know, some of the saints lived long lives, right? Others died very young. Some died peacefully. Others were imprisoned, you know, tortured, starved, or killed because they refused to deny Christ. And this is a reminder that a full life isn't necessarily a long life, but it's a life given in love. And we might look at some of those lives, you know, the lives of the saints, and think, you know, what a terrible loss in the eyes of the world. You know, what a terrible loss. But the church says, what a full life, what a beautiful life, given in love. And the martyrs profoundly demonstrate this and give us this beautiful example of what our Lord is saying, that you don't save your life by keeping it for yourselves. You save it by giving it to Christ. And of course, our Blessed Lady Mary gives us perhaps the greatest and most clearest image of this, right? Her entire life is an offering. Her yes to God meant surrendering her own plans and trusting that our Lord's plan was far better. And perhaps that's why the church has always seen such enmity between our Blessed Lady and the serpent, the devil. You know, and how we see that the pride of the serpent is answered by the humility of Mary. As St. Augustine famously put it, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It was pride that changed angels into devils. It's humility that makes men as angels. It's humility that makes men as angels. And that's ultimately what Jesus is asking of Peter and of us, right? To stop thinking merely as human beings do and to learn to trust God's ways, right? Even when we can't yet see where that is leading. As St. Paul reminds us in our second reading in his letter to the Romans, we're to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. As a living sacrifice. And that's what a cruciform life looks like, right? A life shaped by the cross. We see in the life of Peter, you know, how he failed. He was corrected. He didn't remain a stumbling block, right? He became a saint. And so can we. So can we, brothers and sisters. And that's encouraging, right? That Peter's failure wasn't the end of his story, right? That what mattered was that he allowed Christ to correct him and then continue to follow him. And that's, I think, a good question for us to reflect on this week is, you know, what part of my life am I still trying to keep for myself? What part of my life am I still trying to keep for myself? You know, and what would it mean to place that part of my life into Christ's hands? You know, maybe it's my comfort. or my plans, my possessions, my desire to be in control. Maybe it's something I know I need to surrender to God, I've been reluctant to do so. Whatever it is, Christ doesn't ask us to give ourselves away because he wants to take our life from us. And I think often that's the fear. If I give this away, what will I have left? It's not that he's trying to ask us to give ourselves away because he wants less for us. He asks to give ourselves to him because he wants to give us our lives back. He wants to give us our lives back, transformed and purified, and give us something far greater than anything we could secure for ourselves. As we prepare to approach the altar this morning in the Holy Eucharist, and we remember that in the Eucharist, you know, we become part of Christ's own offering to the Father. And so as we're called to offer ourselves, our very lives, let us unite ourselves to him in his offering to the Father in the Holy Eucharist. We don't find our life by holding on to it, by clutching it. We find it by offering it to Christ, by giving it away. And that's the paradox of the cross. That's the paradox of our Christian faith. And that's the path to the life Jesus promises you and me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.